Welcome to the Hour of the Time. This is William Cooper.
And I'm Doyle Shamley. Well, folks, we haven't done this in a long time. Doyle's here in the studio. I'm here in the studio. And it's how long has it been since we did a broadcast together, Doyle?
Oh, I'm not exactly sure, actually.
It's been, what, about a year, maybe?
Yeah.
Well, it hadn't been a year. We've done a couple of things together, but not a whole broadcast that we were going to stand here and do a broadcast.
Yeah, exactly.
That's been at least a year,
yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Where the hell you been?
All over.
All over. For those of you who I don't know it, Doyle's my brother. He's a good man. He works real hard. And he's usually still working when I start this broadcast. What time do you start in the morning?
Either 8 or 4
eight
in
or,
the morning.
8 or 4.
Yeah, one
and,
or the other.
And what time do you get off, usually?
When 7, 8.
When the work's done.
Yeah, when the work's done. That's,
and it's usually not in time to come up here and do a broadcast. And sometimes he works, you know, way into the late hours, huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've gotten back at 1 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you travel quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. At least 2 hours one way.
And what's your job?
Cable guy.
Doyle is the cable guy. But he's the real cable guy. Not the cable guy that, what's his name? What was the guy? What's the guy that did the movie? I mean, he's
Carrie.
Real funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carrie. What's his first name? I forgot his first name. He's a good actor. He's really a good actor. He does a great job. And his movie Cable Guy was pretty spooky.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No. That's like a band.
You
don't watch that.
It's a band. You don't watch it if you work cable. Well, I would, you ought to watch it. It's pretty spooky. But he was the spooky guy. I mean,
yeah.
He was the guy that did it all. I mean, it's not spooky like you go to somebody's house to wire their cable for the television and they act you in the back or something.
Yeah.
The cable guy was the bad guy in that movie.
Yeah, everybody says if you watch that movie, you'll be X'd, so. And I've never seen it anyway before I got the job. So.
Well, you know, you might be right. I don't know. But anyway. Jim Carrey, that's his name.
Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's a great comedian and a great actor. This guy is like, he reminds me of Lon Chaney.
Yeah.
Because he has the ability to make himself into just about whatever he wants.
Yeah.
To make himself into. He has this incredible physical ability to transform his looks and his face and everything else. With, I'm sure, a little bit of help from computer-aided graphics special effects and things like that. But I haven't seen anybody else do that since Lon Chaney until Jim Carrey came along.
Mm-mm.
Well, what's going on in your world? I mean, you get around a lot more than I do. You get to talk to people. And I've been meaning to ask you this for a while. Personally, you know, like when we sit down and talk, and I keep forgetting to do it, but what's the mood of the people that you come across every day? I mean, what's the, you see a wide range of people in different economic groups and situations and different jobs and all that kind of thing. What's the mood?
I think that most people are fed up with just about everything that comes their direction now.
Yeah, and you're hearing that from them?
Yeah.
How are they expressing that, Doyle?
Well, you can, when they start talking about what they see or hear or read or whatever, I think that most people are pretty much pushed up against the wall as far as everything that's going on the news.
So they don't feel like they can back up anymore.
No.
When you say up against the wall, you mean that they feel like they don't have any place else they can go.
No. They figure, I think that most people at this point figure that either I'll figure it out or I'm going to be damned or I'm going to win. One or the other.
Well, good. That's good. And you've all heard me tell you about the backlash. It's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Gore's finished. This Democratic regime is history. Even the Democrats are rejecting them. I told you the other night I did a search for Marxist and Democrat and liberal websites, and I was amazed at what I saw. Mm-hmm. They're a lot of them have a picture like Al Gore and George Bush side by side, and say, "Is this the choice we want?"
Yeah.
No, then vote for Ralph Nader. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not about to vote for Pat Buchanan, mm-hmm. and Ralph Nader's not going to win.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means, really, from my experience, from my knowledge about the way the political process is manipulated in this country. Notice I say the way it's manipulated, George Bush Jr. is going to win.
Yeah. I think I haven't heard anybody ever say anything good about Gore, ever.
And you see liberals and Marxists and
communists
and conservatives and hardcore and right-wing and militia dudes and survivalists and everybody, every day, everybody... Yeah. Has cable television, right?
Yeah, rich and poor, everything. Yeah.
So you get to see all of these, and you have never heard any of them say anything good about Al Gore.
No, never.
And both, I'm not coaching him, and I've never known Doyle. Doyle has never told me a lie, ever. So I'm telling you right now, if this is what he says that he's hearing and seeing from people, then, you know, that's what he's hearing and seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's... That's significant.
Yeah. I think the choice issue is the biggest one. I think most people are at the point that, well, George Bush and Al Gore make our choice. Well, I'm not going to vote. So if we hear that statistic again that sometimes we've heard in the past of record voters this year and whatnot, well, I wouldn't believe it, personally.
Yeah.
Because I've heard most people say they have no reason to go.
Yeah. But, you know, that sort of throws it back in the Democrat court because the Republicans have never had a machinery to round up dead people to vote, but the Democrats have always been doing that.
Yeah.
And so if they can't get live people to go to the polls, they'll get dead people.
Yeah.
Homeless people. They'll pay them and tell them what name to use and everything else, and they'll go down and vote.
Multiple votes. Yeah.
And, that's been a part of the Democratic process for years.
Yeah.
Too many years. Well, you know, how are the people that you know personally, what are they talking about? I mean, it's one thing to go out and hear what the public are saying, mm-hmm. but you get a chance to sit down and talk personally with the people that you're close to. What do they feel about all of this?
Well, one of them that I would personally label as maybe a pretty liberal,
uh-huh.
in the new sense liberal, not the down the constitutional sense, I would, they're rallying for George Bush Jr.
Wow.
And it's just, I think it's just the fact that they're fed up of what they've had to deal with for the last 8 years.
Uh-huh.
All they know is that their bills keep going up, taxes keep going up.
Is it those things? Or is it the lies? Is it the sleaziness? Is it the corruption that William Clinton projects? Or is it really what his administration has brought into their home, their life, their job, their paycheck, and all that kind of stuff? I mean, exactly. If you could just, and I don't know if you can or not, because I've never asked you this, if you could boil it down to the real nitty-gritty, what is it that's really pissing people off?
I think that what it is that they don't ever recite statistics or whatnot for their taxes or whatnot. I think what it is that over the last 8 years, what they've seen on the news and who's doing it,
uh-huh.
all they know is they're sick and tired of having someone being brought under the, I don't know, microscope, and that seems to slither out. I mean that's the only way I can put it. I mean,
slither, boy, slither. That defines Slick Willie pretty good, doesn't it?
I mean, basically, that's what they're down to. They are tired of someone being able to constantly come under scrutiny and get out of it.
Yeah.
But when they're on their daily job or at home or whatever,
if they come under scrutiny, they don't get out of it. Yeah. They get screwed, don't they?
Exactly.
If the IRS puts them under scrutiny, they don't get out. They get screwed,
exactly.
don't they?
Exactly. And if they have to pay a bill, they got to pay it. They can't just write a bad check and get free postage and ignore parking tickets and everything we hear about from the, you know, basically our so-called federal
people in Washington, D.C. that we're supposed to be trusting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a little music here and see what, let's see what the music brings, because I don't know what's going to come up here. All I know is it's going to be good.
Where are you, little star?
I know this is good. Well, Monty, Butterfield, Radio Free Vermont, that's your 200 CD Sony zippity-doo-dah fantastic purveyor of CDs that we're using. And you can see it works wonderfully. Mm-hmm. Whereas the other one that I have over here that I usually use for music on the hour of the time is due to be pulled out and recycled wherever they're recycled to. I mean, it's dying. Well, we're going to open your phones now, and we're going to open your phones. You see, ours is open. So we're going to open your phones, and you now have permission to use your phone to call in and talk to Doyle and I. And Doyle is... Doyle, what are you watching over? What's that?
That is... It appears to be a racing show.
Yeah.
Greg Gray.
Yeah. What is it, though? Where's it coming from?
Well, Round Valley Television.
Round Valley Television. How's the picture?
Perfect.
It's perfect. I can't believe it. I can't believe we finally did it.
Yep.
And we have a television station on the air that's putting out a perfect picture.
Exactly.
And Doyle watches it, and a lot of other people in the Round Valley watch it, and it's but I tell you what, we had to cut down on the time that we're on the air because of electricity. I mean, we've got this radio station 24 hours a day. Now we have a television station. This television station really eats electricity. I turned it off and went out and looked at the meter.
Mm-hmm.
I turned it on and went out and looked at the meter. It was like overdrive sniffing coke or something. And I said, whoa, stop this right now. We can't afford this. So the Round Valley Television is only on now between about 5 p.m. To midnight. And if we're doing special programming and the last special program shuts off like 10:30 or 11, then it's off the air then.
Mm-hmm.
If the last special programming goes till midnight, then we'll go to midnight. But at midnight is absolutely the end. And we'll do special programming on Saturday and Sunday for people who are home and not at, work and stuff like that. But that's what that's... But I'm amazed. I mean, Doyle.
Yeah?
You tell them about the transmitter. It's like what,
4 inches by 8 inches.
It's
yeah.
a little
yeah.
bitty thing, yeah. huh?
Only about an inch thick, yeah.
And we spent all that money on transmitters that didn't work.
Yeah.
And then finally we bought this for $158-something on eBay.
Mm-hmm.
And it works like a champ.
Yeah.
And then we found out that, you're the one who went out and tested. How far did it go?
The current one, it'll go anywhere where the more than 10% of the populace lives. I mean, as far as density, I mean, we're covering 90, 80, 70, 60. I mean, it's going way out in the country.
Yeah.
You can get the 3 or 4 main ways out of the town and still get it at the edge of town where they're considered county at this point.
So everybody in Springerville and Eager can watch yeah. Round Valley Television.
If they say they can't, well...
They don't... Yeah. Well, if they say they can't, they don't have an antenna
yeah.
on there. And by antenna, I don't mean outside antenna. You don't have to have an outside antenna.
No.
Our amplifier is so strong
mm-hmm.
that it's... It's UHF and it doesn't go very far. So we're not going across a state boundary or an international boundary.
No.
We're intrastate and we're just covering the Round Valley. That's as far as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And all you need is a set of rabbit ears, preferably one that's rated to pick up UHF. And that'll usually have a round thing on it. Describe that. What is
it?
Loop thing?
Yeah, it's like just a circle of metal. Usually chromed or tinned, and then comes into the base. Sometimes it has a little adjustment knob.
And sometimes you can tune it?
Yeah. And that's just changing the resistance,
yeah.
Making it more or less to make the picture clear.
And some of them are what's the word I'm looking for? Boosted or?
No, amplified.
Amplified,
yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are amplified, which means they'll receive the signal, amplify it before it goes into your TV so that it will be stronger.
Yes.
And then you'll get a better picture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they really don't need that with ours.
No.
All you need is just a UHF antenna mm-hmm. and orient it toward where we're broadcasting from. You get a beautiful, clear, fantastic color picture and sound. Unfortunately, we can't broadcast in stereo, so mm-hmm. it's monaural sound, but it's clear, beautiful sound.
And to me, that as far as the monaural goes, I've noticed no difference. I mean, I'm... the other night we were watching the documentary on the atomic bomb.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it to be in stereo or left and right.
Yeah.
I was just expecting info.
Yeah.
Who's
but that's
talking
what you got, huh?
Yeah.
So what'd you think about that documentary?
I thought it was good. That was interesting.
Did you
Bikini Islands and whatnot?
Yeah. Did you know all those things?
No.
Did you know how many atomic bombs we actually exploded?
No, I had no idea.
I didn't either. I thought that I knew a lot about that.
Yeah.
And I know a lot about a lot of things, as I've proven to people over the years who have checked what I have told them. But when I saw this documentary, which is based upon declassified material that was declassified for the first time. They made this documentary. I had no idea we had done the things that we had done and jeopardized the whole human race
mm-hmm.
in doing it.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Mm-hmm. They like to point, to me, when I watched it, I like to see the finger pointing at Chernobyl and it spread all over and the Swedish team discovered the massive amount of radiation in the air. But whether that was an accident or not, it seems to be, that was done on purpose.
Yeah.
And it was 10 times some
yeah.
of those
yeah.
ships full of people.
Yeah.
Full of people.
Yeah.
They had no idea it was coming.
Yeah.
Animals, farmers.
And we did that.
Yeah.
And nobody ever knew about that. Nobody even had the slightest inkling that we were doing those
mm-hmm.
things. And what's even spookier is that at the same time we were doing these things, there were other nations who had the atomic bomb who were doing it too.
Yeah.
And you want to know why people are dying of cancer at unbelievable record rates today when there was no history of cancer like this before? It's because of all this atom bomb testing in the atmosphere, in space, underground, in the ocean. I mean, they were doing it everywhere. And the low-level radiation that was spread all around the world by all these different nations that were doing all this atomic bomb and hydrogen bomb testing, that's where the cancer's coming from, folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's coming from. You look back in history, you will not find any period in the history of the human race where cancer proliferated like it's doing now. And I'm telling you right now, it's coming from all the atomic bomb testing that was performed by all the countries, the Soviet Union, the United States, France, England, mm-hmm. you know, all of the people who have atomic bombs and who have tested them, Communist China, and the low-level radiation and the high-level radiation that's floated through the atmosphere and settled to the earth and gone into the food chain, and we've been eating it and all this kind of stuff. And I'm going to tell you something else. This cattle mutilation thing that's being blamed on UFOs is really a United States government project being carried out with silent helicopters in the dead of night in order to measure the actual effects of the fallout from all of this testing over the years, ever since they found out that low-level radiation is not harmless like they thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
That it's even more deadly than high dosages over a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Low dosages over a long period of time cause genetic damage, cause cancer, can cause a genetic proliferation of cancer down into your children and your children's children and your children's children. And that's really what this cattle mutilation thing is all about. It's not aliens, not extraterrestrials. It's not Doyle Shamley trying to hook up a cow to you know cable television. That's what it is. It's the government's low-level radiation monitoring project from all of the fallout, from all of the atomic testing that has occurred over the years. And remember, this started way back when they began to discover that low-level radiation, the fallout, was much more dangerous than they ever dreamed that it ever could be. 520-333-4578. The phones are open, and we're waiting here for your call. So, do it.
For by you. Love is not a gadget.
Phones are open. 520-333-4578. Topics open. Pockets are open. Windows open. Doors open. Skies open. It's all open. If you don't believe me, check the Open Skies Treaty. I know what I'm talking about. The sky really is open.
In my heart, for you.
Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine.
Am I talking loud enough for you, sir?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I just wanted to mention, I think, first off, you're pretty close on the low-level radiation as a cause of cancer. And I'll tell you what I believe to also be a contributing factor. It's the tremendous amount of electronic devices, and primarily it's the electrical power generation. Years and years and years ago, for all the history of mankind, nobody had tremendous amounts of electricity flowing through their homes, through wires, all over the place.
Well, I think really what you're referring to is not electricity per se, because that only occurs in the wires. What you're referring to is...
electromagnetic radiation.
That's right, the electromagnetic radiation, and there is definitely, and it has been absolutely proven, that there is a correlation between cancer and people who live directly under, are really close to high tension power lines. I mean the ones that carry a lots and lots of voltage and amperages, and they bought a house that's right directly underneath or are really close to it. There, it's been proven that these people suffer a much higher incidence of cancer and other diseases than anybody else in society.
Now, in reality, the electromagnetic radiation is being generated, or should I say that's being emitted from the power lines, are at much, much lower frequencies. But in reality, the concept of that electromagnetic radiation is the same as radiation that you'll find from, say, gamma rays. Just the only difference is the wavelengths are much shorter.
Yes. But Doyle knows a lot more about this stuff than I do, so let's get Doyle in this conversation, because he's the, after all, he's the cable man.
Hey, Doyle, how are you?
All righty. How about you?
I'm quite good, thank you.
Good.
Another thing that I don't think they've really figured out yet is the damage the cell phone frequencies are going to be causing people. Around here, people
driving... Wait a minute. Before we scare people, let's say that's... conjecture. We don't know that to be the truth.
Yes, sir.
And even though there's been a lot of allegations, nobody has ever made any connection between cell phones and cancer or brain tumors or any of the other things that are alleged to be caused by their use.
Well, I will say this is my opinion, although there is a certain amount of...
Very good. That's honorable, and you can do that on this broadcast.
There's a certain amount of... facts that are pointing in that direction. They haven't come out with anything conclusive, or at least they haven't come out with it publicly.
Wait a minute. That's kind of sneaky. That implies that you have information that they're concealing something from us, and I don't think you do.
Well, let me state my case.
Let's not imply something that we can't prove, okay? You know the parameters for this broadcast, right?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good for you.
And I'm going to try to state my case. The FCC, and we all know about, we have our own, I'm not even going to touch the issues of the color of law, but the FCC has been starting to clamp down on the RF emission standards because they have shown that radio frequency signals are harmful. And it depends on the frequencies, it depends on the dose, how close you are to the antenna, and there's a graph that they publish that shows the exposure levels for different frequencies and what kind of damage that can occur from one, as I said, the proximity or how close you are to that antenna, and also different frequencies have different effects and some seem to be more dangerous than others. Obviously, the frequencies in a microwave oven are particularly effective at heating animal flesh. That's why it's so efficient.
Wait a minute. Now, you're skipping around to different frequencies and different things that most people may not understand. There is well, how can we explain this, Doyle? Because, you see, you're not just talking to me and Doyle. You're talking to the listening audience, and we have to make sure they understand what's transpiring here. And I have no disagreement with anything that you've said so far. But we have to make sure that they understand that light and radio frequencies and ultraviolet rays and heat and microwaves and radio transmissions and television transmissions are all different frequencies on the electromagnetic scale, and all represent a part of this, and all have something to do with what makes an awful lot of over to microwaves, you're really talking about a different frequency within the same scale. And I just want to make sure that the listening audience understands exactly what we're talking about, because not everybody was paying attention in eighth grade science.
I understand.
Hate to put it like that, but that's really the way it needs
Well,
to
there
be
is
put.
One point I would like to make, that the frequencies in cell phones are not that far from the frequencies of a microwave oven. Now, the difference is, one, the cell phone is putting out a minuscule amount of power in comparison to a microwave oven. It's only a few watts, where typically a microwave oven is 400, 500, 700 watts. The only point I'm trying to get is that I think people should be prudent to minimize their exposure. I'm not going to say don't use them. I'm not going to say don't use electrical devices. But
what are you doing, missing around? That's exactly what you're saying. And I hear you. I use them occasionally, but I don't use them enough to where they could do me, you know, any kind of a permanent harm. And I know that all of these things are dangerous. We all do. But we're going to take advantage of technology. And no matter what you say about any of this stuff, even if people know it's going to hurt them, they're not going to give up their trip through McDonald's. You know what that means? I want it now. I want it instantly. I don't want to have to run through the house and go to a phone that's got a cord connected to it and I can't take it with me. I want to be out in the yard, pull it out of my pocket, put it up to my head. And I don't care if it gives me cancer, because I don't believe it.
Well, I know some people that their cell phones grow out of their ears. They, from the moment they wake up until the moment they go to bed, they are on that cell phone.
I have seen those people, and you're absolutely correct. And you very rarely ever see them. Doyle, talk about it. I mean, you see that every day.
Yeah, they're the ones that are driving and blowing red lights and trying to set you off. And
glued to their ear. Uh-huh. It's like somebody put crazy glue up there, and their cell phone is stuck there, and, you know. And their whole world is on the other end of that antenna.
Yeah. Now, I never figured out what was that much of a rush.
One
block to the next, they had to blow a red light.
Really?
So I'm going to let your next caller in.
Okay.
But I'm just going to suggest that to the audience, moderation in all things.
Good for you.
I thank you, sir. Have a wonderful evening, and God bless.
Thank you for calling. And thank you for your adherence to the rules of the broadcast. You did really well. Intelligent, polite, could argue his point, understood what he was talking about. My God, you know how many months I wait for calls like that? And they very seldom ever materialize. And when they do, I am so thankful. 520-333-4578. Now you watch. I shouldn't have said a word. Because it'll scare a whole bunch of people away. I was like, well, I can't live up to that. Well, why not? I mean, you've got the same brain that guy did. You got the same brain I've got. You got the same brain Doyle got. You just don't have the same job. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure you wouldn't want my job. And from what I've seen of Doyle's, you probably wouldn't want his. Although he enjoys it. I don't know why. 520. 333-4578. Get off your lazy butt and call us.
Ronnie, dig my clothes, here, yeah, boy. One button low. Wait, you know I'm strong for that. Get in your belly line. Got a soul that goes to the party. Yeah, yeah. Let me be your joke. Well, oh, you know, man, nigga, you know, man, nigga. I won't be my baby no more.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
About your comments regarding radiation.
Uh-huh.
There's no doubt that radiation increases the incidence of cancer.
Yeah. Can I get you to talk a lot louder, please?
Okay. There's no doubt that radiation increases the incidence of cancer.
Yes.
But a lot of things have happened in the century that make comparison, basically cancer incidence comparisons to the past, difficult. You know, antibiotics were basically came out in the 1930s, at least in the mainstream medical field.
Antibiotics do not cause cancer.
No, I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that.
Then let's make your examples applicable to the subject that we're talking about. Because people who are listening will think that that's what you're saying.
No, what I'm saying is that, let's say in 1910, somebody might die of pneumonia at age 35
mm-hmm.
instead of living to age 70 and then being diagnosed with cancer.
Whoa. That's bullshit.
No,
you're assuming that if he had lived beyond that date, he might die of cancer. And I'm telling you, you can't make any such conclusion whatsoever. That's bullshit.
No,
you can't even hypothesize such a thing. There is no statistics that even remotely assume that what you said is correct.
What I'm saying is that the incidence of cancer.
I know exactly what you're saying, and what I'm telling you is that the example that you gave is absolute bullshit.
If you believe that the incidence of cancer goes up as you age, then if you die of something,
I don't believe that at all necessarily.
Okay, I believe that.
So. Well, that's okay, but that's a belief. Make sure that you let the audience know that that's a belief.
Sure.
And if you let them know that that's a belief, and this is your opinion, then you can build on that on this show. But if you try to present it as some kind of a fact or something that everybody is supposed to believe, then you can't.
Some people may not believe that. Other people do believe that. At least most mainstream physicians do believe that.
Now, how can you support that?
Based on epidemiological.
No. How can you support it? Document it right now. Where did you get that?
I can't do that.
Then don't say it.
So at this point, I'll say it's my opinion.
Okay. See, you're learning. You're learning, which is much more than other people do. They try to press the, okay, go ahead.
Right. The other thing is, CT scans and so forth weren't available, back in 1900.
Which means nothing.
No, it does.
It doesn't.
Let's say you died.
It doesn't. Doctors back in 1900 knew their epidemiology, and there was hardly, let me tell you something about 1900. There was hardly any incidence of cancer at all known to humankind anywhere. And it wasn't misdiagnosed. If you go back and you look at the cause of death of all of these people, you'll find a conspicuous absence of two things, cancer and heart disease.
Right, and that was my original point. If you died of measles when you're 19...
No. That doesn't wash. Because I got to tell you, there's lots of people who live to be 100, who live to be 110, 120, 130, even back then. My ancestors in my family, nobody died until they were up in their upper 80s or lower 90s.
Right.
So all this stuff about everybody back in that time died before they were 35 or 45 is bullshit. It's not true.
I'm not saying that. If you look at our founding fathers, some of them lived into the 70s and 80s.
That's right. So to assume that because somebody died when they were 19, that prevented them from being a cancer statistic is bullshit.
Not necessarily.
It is absolutely bullshit.
Let me say this then.
Because these people died when they were 19, that prevented them from being a casualty of an asteroid strike on the Earth. How about that?
No. But,
oh, what do you mean? No. It's exactly the same thing you did.
Well,
how about this? Just because they died at 19, it prevented them from being the victims of a tremendously catastrophic epidemic episode of the bubonic plague that would only have affected those people had they lived.
I would say that the chance of that happening anyway...
Oh, my goodness!
Wait a minute. I can support my argument. What I'm saying is, all right, let's say that if you lived 6,000 years, of course your chance of experiencing a meteor crashing into the Earth would be higher than if you lived 1 year.
How do you know that?
Well, because...
What if a meteor struck the Earth today? What if an asteroid struck the Earth today? Every single person who was 1 year old would be killed.
You're right.
So you're full of crap!
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are!
Well, let me explain myself. What I'm trying to explain is...
What you're saying is if you're 1 year old, you're not in danger. I say that if you're 1 year old when it strikes, you're dead!
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying...
That's exactly what you said.
I'm saying if you live 1 year...
That has nothing to do with a meteor strike. Longevity has nothing to do with that.
Well,
nobody knows when it's going to occur. It's not age-related.
Let me ask you this.
You know what's age-related? Dying of old age. That's what's age-related. Nothing else is.
Let me ask you this. If you live 3 billion years...
This is fun.
...living 1 year, you think maybe the chance that you've experienced one meteor hitting the Earth might be higher?
Well, I'll tell you right now, you're so off base because I'm going to tell you just during our conversation, I'm going to tell you right now, thousands of meteors have already hit the Earth.
I know that. I'm just trying to use an outrageous example.
Talk to this. He's not listening to me. He doesn't understand. He just said that if I live to be billions of years old, I might be subject to experiencing one meteor strike. And then I just told him that during this conversation, thousands of meteors have hit the Earth. And he said, I know that. So what does that mean?
Well, I would doubt that thousands of meteors...
I can assure you that any... Talk, Doyle. Go.
All right, and consider this. In 1500, not everybody got an autopsy. So if you died when you're 30 years old, you don't get an autopsy if you're poor, whatever. Instead, you get buried in the ground, no one knows why you died, and that's it.
Oh, that's not true.
So if the person died of lymphoma or leukemia or whatever, they get buried, they were a peasant, that's the end of it.
Doesn't that happen today?
Now if you die in a hospital...
Excuse me, Doyle asked you a question.
I didn't hear it, sorry.
Doesn't it happen the same today?
No, if you die in a hospital today, the families always get asked, do you want an autopsy?
And in the first case that you gave, you didn't actually mention hospitals. You just said if you died, in your 30s.
Okay. Well, if you do die in your 30s, let's say when you're 30 years old, you get a rip-roaring pneumonia, nobody... is able to treat you with antibiotics because they're not available for whatever reason, and you die. But let's say you have a strong family history of colon cancer, and you would have your chance of getting colon cancer would have been.
I got to break in here. I got to tell you this: if you and I were sitting in a living room in front of a roaring fire in the middle of winter. I would love this conversation over a bottle of really good old scotch. And I would never get angry with you or anything, and I would let you go on and talk forever. But we're on the radio, and I can't do that, okay? And this is going nowhere. So I got to let you go.
All right.
And in the middle of next winter, if you can find a bottle of 60-year-old scotch and get up here on top of this mountain, I'll build a roaring fire in the fireplace, and we'll talk all night long. How about that?
Well, maybe I'll get a four-wheel drive and find a place up there.
Okay.
All right.
But don't forget the scotch.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Good night. I'm not trying to put him down, and that was not my intent. It just wasn't going anywhere, and it didn't really... But did it, Doyle? Did you see any redeeming value in that whole thing?
No.
Okay. So 520-333-4578 is the number. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is Nick from New York.
Hi, Nick from New York.
Two things. I didn't get on until about 10:30 because I had so much static, so I don't know if you discussed it. But what about the amalgam fillings that they switched to in the teeth? There, and it's mostly comprised like 50-65% mercury.
Number one, you need to talk a lot louder. You're not even registering on any of the gauges in the studio.
Okay. The amalgam fillings that they started using in the 1930s and 40s,
mm-hmm.
Switched over to them, and they're made of 50-65% mercury.
Yeah.
This could be a great source of, from what I've read, this could be a great source of cancer and problems like Parkinson's and stuff like that. Alzheimer's condition?
Well, first off, this is Doyle. I'll admit my ignorance as far as medical things go. I have been told various things about the filling issue. My cousin, my really, really good cousin, is a dentist. She would argue with him back and forth about fluoride and whatnot and statistics and this and that. But then the owner of her firm, who was also a senior dentist, was on the... actually on the state board in California to keep fluoride out of the water. So, but all I can do is claim ignorance as far as medical issues go. I don't know. I mean, I've heard
it. I can assure you that that absolutely mercury is not good for anybody.
Yeah.
But mercury does not cause cancer. Mercury causes problems with mental functioning, genetic defects, birth defects, can cause inability to think properly. It can really screw up your life. And yes, if it's in your mouth, and if it's mercury and it's giving off vapors or the heavy, which is worse, the actual heavy metal, which goes down your throat and goes into your body, then you're in big trouble. But it doesn't cause cancer.
Right. One other thing was back in 1998, there was a study up at Cornell, up in New York State, and they attached the cell phones to rhesus monkeys for 1 hour that had been trained to do certain functions.
I read about that. Doesn't prove anything.
Okay, I just wondered about that because I remember.
No, doesn't prove anything. They have never ever proven that cell phones cause anything, and the day they do. You will hear a hue and cry from all these activist groups that will just, it will blow your brains out, to tell you the truth. Because they've all been claiming that it happens, but they have no proof. The very second that they get proof, they're just going to blow the whole infrastructure out of communication city.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all you're ever going to hear. So, you know, when that happens, you'll know it. But I'm telling you right now, anything that emits electromagnetic energy can harm you. So the caller that said that he cautioned some kind now I've lost the term.
Excessive use of microwaves and cellular phones.
What he did is advise caution,
yeah,
in the use of these things, and I practice that myself. I love the technology, I love the convenience, but I just absolutely will not allow myself to glue a cell phone or a remote phone or anything else to my ear like I've seen so many people do. I'll do it when it's convenient for me to do it because I can't get to a phone. When I'm around a phone, I don't touch the remote phone, and I don't even have a cell phone anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say except... Have a good night, and keep up the good work. We need your word out there.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
520-333-4578. All right. He remembered. I knew he would. Yep.
Thank you, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt here. How you doing, Doyle?
How you doing?
I hear Bill say that the television transmitter is hogging the power a bit.
Yeah, it appears to be, yes.
Well, it shouldn't be. I mean, the transmitter and the amplifier together should probably be consuming about 40 watts, assuming the amplifier is about 50%, well, assuming the amplifier is 50% efficient, which is realistic. You're probably looking at 20, 25 watts from the amp.
Uh-huh.
Maybe 5 or 10 watts from the transmitter for solid-state transmitters in that class. If they're really spinning the wheel around outside, that's strange. That doesn't make sense.
I think that the biggest issue is it's spinning the wheel like that compared to what it was before.
Well, that's odd. You should figure out how much power they are consuming, because let's say the whole shooting match, you got a VCR going that's bringing in your documentary.
Matt.
Yeah.
You don't understand. We're not even interested in that issue. What we're interested in is we finally got the damn thing on the air and it's working. We just can't afford to pay the electricity bill. That's all, you know. So, but we're on the air.
Give me a minute.
There is no problem. And we, no, because we cannot afford to send the amplifier back to get it fixed or rebuilt. And we cannot afford to look for another transmitter.
Bill, will you just listen to what I'm going to say?
It doesn't matter what you're going to say. If the electricity bill's too big, we can't be on the air 24 hours a day. That's all
there is to it. What I'm trying to tell you, if you estimate it, if it's what I'm saying, if it's like 60 watts total, that's about a dime every 24 hours.
No, it's much more than that. Even the FM station is much more than that.
Well, it's what, about 7 cents a kilowatt hour, something like that?
I don't know, but it's expensive. We're way out in the country here, and it's expensive. Electricity is not cheap here. I don't know where you live. I don't know what you're paying, but it's not cheap here.
All righty. Well, I'm glad it's on the air anyway.
Okay.
Let you go.
Well, thanks.
Bye-bye.
And by the way, folks, Matt is one of the people who's responsible for having it on the air. He gave us the antenna.
Mm-hmm.
He helped us find the cable. In fact, he sent us the cables.
Yes.
He did a lot for us. But it doesn't matter, you know, how much electric. We can't afford to do it again. We can't spend the money again.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, what I want to know is how many watts is the transmitter putting out on the television station?
Wait a minute. Who do you work for? Who do you work for?
I'm unemployed.
You're unemployed. How do we know that? How do we know you're not working for the FCC?
Well, the other guy said your transmitter was 40 watts.
No, he didn't say that.
No.
He used that as an example.
He assumed it was 40 watts.
No, he used that as an example. He didn't assume anything. He used it as an example. He used 40 watts as an example.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, we're not putting out 40 watts or anything near it. But we're not going to tell you what we're doing. I don't know who you are. You could be calling from the local AT, you know, anybody. You could be calling from the FCC wanting to get some evidence against us, you know? So don't even ask us those kind of questions.
I assure you I'm not.
Well, you can assure me whatever you want. How the hell do I know who the hell you are?
Okay, well, I'll let you go.
Okay.
Bye now.
Who are these people that think they can call up? And just because they have good intentions, we're supposed to believe them? I don't know you from Adam. Never heard of you. Never saw you. Don't know nothing about you. What are you, a census taker? Well, I'm a census taker. I have good vibes. And I'm here to collect information for the annual 10-year census for the United States government. How many toilets do you have? How much money do you make? Yeah. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Cooper. I want to point something out in regards to using rabbit ears.
you've been recommending rabbit ears.
Only if it's UHF capable.
Okay, but one thing I want to tell you about rabbit ears. Now, I was in the Air Force 40 years ago, and TV sets were vacuum tube. Now, I don't know if that still applies to transmitters. Only the experts out there in the audience, your own technicians, might be able to tell you. I assume it's the same. Now, I was in Niagara Falls Air Force Base, New York. We had Nike missile sites
around the area. Let me hold it. We're almost out of time, so you have to
make your
point real quick.
An Army or Air Force Master Sergeant brought us an oscilloscope home from the base, and they compared just a basic antenna properly designed and rabbit ears, and they put a scope on the vacuum tube circuit.
Now, understand, when I say rabbit ears, I'm not talking about VHF rabbit ears.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the rabbit ears that also have the coil or the round UHF antenna that's supposed to receive UHF signals.
Okay. But anyway, I want to make my point anyway. It's
okay, go ahead.
Rabbit ears on VHF, which is what we had in the Buffalo, Niagara Falls, Buffalo area. It was 20 miles away.
Yes.
He said rabbit ears put 2.5 times the strain on all the components of your TV set, your circuitry, that a properly designed antenna puts on it. So somebody might want to compare that, do a study on that and report back on your program here sometime in the near future.
Well, thank you for that information.
Yeah, okay, I'm happy to give it to you. I have many other things I'd like to discuss, but we're running out of time. So,
okay, thanks.
Good evening. Best of luck with everything. I wish I could get your...
We're out of time. Got to let you go. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Good night, folks. God bless each and every, and I mean it, every single one of them. You want to say something, Bill?
Good night.
Good night, from the cable guy. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you. Ah, come on. This is the one I really wanted you to hear. I love this.
Each time we have a quarrel, it almost breaks my heart. Cause I'm so afraid that we will have to part. Each night I have a thought of love. Why must I be a teenager in love?